What's going on, good people? This is PR, and you're now listening to the good guys on Winner's Circle Media. Where the party at, fellas?
You are now tuned in to the greatest. That's how we're going to start it today.
There it is. You already know what it is.
Mill.
DJ Steph Floss, the good guys podcast about nothing, episode 11. And I know it's 11 because...
It might be 12.
No, we caught the last one 10 because we had just came back. We just made up a number where it's like, this is probably 10, so we'll go with, we didn't do one after that, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so this is 11. I was right. And we got a special guest with us, and he's not phoning in. He's actually right here. P?
What up? This thing on?
We got Mr. PR, Mr. RWTW himself. We actually had him on a podcast before. But somebody,
yeah, we sure did.
Somebody had a little too much sauce and erased the podcast.
Ask them what they're doing right now.
We're doing a podcast.
Hey, listen,
man. Over here drinking water, doing a podcast.
Before we get started, I just want to say I've had the great fortune of being in some real fly shit before in my lifetime, man.
Here we go.
As a matter of fact, keep it 100. I just came from LeBron's house yesterday.
Here we go.
I've never seen a view like Steph Floss has in this car. I've never. I mean, I think I can see my crib in Lower East Side Manhattan from here.
I do have to apologize for the spiders, like on the
somebody
outside.
Can clean that?
Yeah, they got to come clean the windows. Ooh,
that's a good flex right there.
Yes, I mean,
no one cleans those windows.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, hell no.
I mean, well, we're not on the second floor either, guys, by the way.
They better tell you I had to pay $20 to park.
No, I'm not.
Once again, we're going to bring it
up. Every time you come
every
here?
Every time you come here.
So that's why y'all don't do a lot of shows. I get it. I wouldn't do it. Nah. I get it.
I drove the block twice. Hey, that's 20.
All right, man. So you know what it is? We got the podcast going on. What's going on, guys? Tomorrow, another show. You know, we just going to do the whole tour, actually.
Looking for revenge.
Man, shout out to the boy Drake. Shout out to Future Man for the hospitality they've been showing us with this Summer 16 tour. Big shout out to Future the Rapper as well. I'm going to keep it funky. What happened in Toronto was amazing because I really wasn't even expecting we had our own riser, man.
Yeah, I don't know if people realize that. That riser we was on was built for us.
Explain to everybody what a riser is. Some might not know what a riser is.
Yeah, so a riser on tour is where talent puts their guests, right? Their VIP. So a riser is basically an elevated platform, normally behind a soundstage, where all the VIPs hang out, right? So Drake, so if you've been to Watch the Throne or any other great concert, they all have them. So Drake has a riser for every show, right? I'd say, maybe 100 people fit in there?
Right behind the sound booth.
So when we went to Toronto, we were not on that riser. We had our own riser that literally was built just for us. I mean, you know, when
right
Floss...
Right next to that riser.
Right next to that riser.
So when Floss talks about, the love and the hospitality that Future the Prince and Drizzy show us, I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
It's crazy, and it's crazy because it's like... So I'm talking to Future. I'm like, yeah, you know,
Future the Prince. Or Future the Prince.
Yeah, make that, so
no, but like, so
explain,
but
because it might.
Yeah,
Future the Prince is Drake's DJ.
Yeah, Future the Prince is Drake's DJ as well as Drake's manager.
Correct.
Which is amazing. You know, we've been on this journey with the boys. You know, from almost the beginning, man, and you know, just seeing the maturation of Drake and Future the Prince from going from we did a show in Toledo. We did a show in Toledo. Remember we were there? It was maybe venue was like it was like an auditorium, like
somewhere they would do like flea markets.
It was like a flea market, P. And it was like maybe 250, 300 max attendance. And it was Drake. It was a guy that still have him. The guy that's on the keys, I forget his name. Great guy. And Future was the DJ. It was just those three people, and that was it.
So y'all not new friends. Y'all go back with Drake.
Right before that, we had literally just met them, though, I would say maybe a couple months. This was so far gone that come out. So
the story, I don't think we ever told this story, but Drake and Rich and Brian had met. I think Rich was telling me, they had met in L.A. like probably like 06 or something like that, 06, before, you know, before So Far Gone, they linked up, boom, boom, boom. And so Drake was doing, he was about to drop So Far Gone, and, you know, he reached out, like, you know, I want y'all to, you know, host my party and come through to Toronto. So, of course, Rich was like, I bet. We got the company 8081. We got the DJs. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to come up to Toronto. He's like, all right, so I'm going to send y'all the joint, the mixtape, so y'all can listen to when y'all, you know, on the way up, let us know how you feel. So we're listening to, we're on our way to Toronto. We had just got, y'all had, I didn't go, but y'all had just got back from Toronto for the film fest. Because More Than a Game had just dropped, right? Mm-hmm. So then we were going back to Toronto, and we're listening to it. And
Did you know right there was special? Like your first listen?
Well, we were listening when he got the Best I Ever Had. We literally kept listening to Best I Ever Had from whatever point we were at in Ohio at that time all the way to Toronto. Nonstop. Like, nonstop. You know what I'm saying? So we pull up to dinner. I don't even know what restaurant that was, but we pull up to dinner. Drake is there, you know, we all finally meet.
Might have been Morton's.
I don't
remember. It was somewhere over there.
So we Marriott. We met, you know, everybody was talking, so he asked us how, you know, we felt about the joint, and we were like, Best I ever had is the one. And like, I don't know if he'll say this or has he said it, but he was like, he wanted to push Unstoppable was set to gold as the single. Mm. And we're like, I know we just met, but Best I Ever Had is like, Best I Ever Had is the one. Like, then we had like a private party. We had a private party. And, you know, were you DJing at the time? I was DJing. No, DJing. You weren't DJing.
I was doing the 8081.com blog and stuff.
Yeah. Wait, when you say you weren't DJing,
I wasn't even a DJ. Yeah, he wasn't a DJ. Nope. So I was DJing the joint, and I kept playing Best I Ever Had. I'm like, you need to see like the effect this has. So we kept playing it, and Brian is like, see, we're telling you, man, this is the one. Boom, boom, boom. Then we had the party at 6 Degrees, the big party for the entire everybody, the actual So Far Gone mixtape release party the next day. And it was crazy. And me and Future, was DJing the party with me. It was me, Future, and Lisa Monet. And I played the Best I Ever Had a few times. Future did. Crowd went crazy. We're like, this is a single. So as soon as we got back, we probably got back on Monday. I had a Cavs game sometime not far from there. I hit Drake. I said, I need a clean version of the song. He was like, man, I don't even like. He was like, I got to make one. I'm like, well, I'm trying to play it at the Cavs game tonight. Like, he was like, all right, bet, I'm going to make one. He made me a clean version of that song. And I think that same version is like the version that the radio's got in there. He's probably like, well, I got to clean now. I just service this version to everybody. So that's where our relationship goes back that far with those guys. So, you know what I'm saying? Real live brothers.
Day one.
So it's funny because I was talking to Future, and I was like, you know, like I know he has a lot because he's not just the DJ, Future the Prince. Right. Now, I know he's not just the DJ, now he's the manager, but you know, still my brother, so I'm hitting him up, but I have to be mindful, like he's probably busy and all of that. So when I'm asking him for like, you know, like, all right, we're going to come to Columbus, you know, of course he's like, man, whatever y'all need, however many people you need, just tell me and I got you. You know, a lot of people say that.
Of course.
And then you give a number and they be like, ah. So he was like, no, he was like, I'm like, Future, I don't want to fit. He's like, man, you're my brother, you're not bothering me. So the first number I tell him, I say, you know, we're going to need 22 tickets. I say, you know, we're going to need 22 tickets. He was like, all right, 20. He was like, 22. Then he hit me back. He was like, all right, cool, it's set. I was like, you know, and I'm like, that's not including, as I saw you the text, I'm like, that's not including Brian, Rich, Mav, if he comes, PR, because I knew you were here, and Randy. I'm like, that's not including those guys. This is the other part of the family. Like, we need 22. And I knew, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, cool. Next thing I know, we show up. Though he, you know, he's like, Brian, he's waiting on. He was like, all right, I'm just waiting on, you know, their request too. Boom, 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 but I got you. I know we show up. The guy comes, greets me, you know, at the deck. I mean, you know, pulling into the underground of the arena. The man just, he's like, Steph? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you need 22. He pulls out I got my nieces and nephews with me, by the way. Now, they've seen stuff, you know, Instagram, but they haven't really been around like these moments like that. Yeah.
Behind the curtain. Yeah.
So they you know, this guy pulls up and then he brings out the, you know, passes and he's like, how many you need? I'm like 22. He was like, all right, boom, cut some. VIP pass, that's 22. He's like, I'm gonna give you 23. Cause that's your magic number anyway. So 20, he said 23, and then he's like, and these are the bands for the riser, 23 of these, boom, boom, boom. And I'm looking at my nieces and nephews, and they're looking like, seriously, this man just gonna give you like 23 passes, like VIP passes. So we walk in, and then we walk up, and he, you know, escorting us. Everybody else has a blue wristband for the riser.
Right.
He's like, y'all's are white. So I walk up, nobody on the riser. I'm like, man. They done built us another riser in Columbus. That's crazy.
Yep. Yo, Future hit me in the New York show. I want to say, because I checked my phone, it was 8:52 p.m. And the text said, are you straight? Are you and the fam straight? We're walking on stage now. I want to make sure you're good.
No lie. Where's my phone? I got some. Like, I'm going to show you
this. Man is a DJ for the biggest artist in the country right now. And he's worried about us making sure we're good as he's walking on stage, by the way, to orchestrate the whole show, because he's the DJ as well.
So Drake's show starts about what time?
Nine.
Like 9 o'clock.
Yep.
All right, his show starts about 9 o'clock. So Future texts me yesterday at, what was it? It was like 10. It was like 10:30 or something.
And on stage?
I'm looking at the time like, hold on. How's this even pop? 10:11.
10:11. Yep.
you see what the text says?
It says, always my brother, and if you ever think you bother me ever again, we will have a problem. Your family.
10:11. I'm like, this is definitely, like, Future must be out. So, like, this definitely has to be a part of the show where Future that came out.
Wow. Grammys, or something.
Grammys.
Finished.
Yeah,
hey, I mean, while we're on it, can we talk about his show?
No,
I mean,
it's crazy.
Listen, I've had the fortune. I've seen a lot of people. Like, I'm older than both of y'all. I was able to see Big. Like,
dang.
I saw Watch the Throne in Paris. I've seen some real shows.
Hold on. I seen Watch the Throne in Paris. Come on.
What that got to do with it?
The show is the show, man.
Same show. Same line.
I was fortunate enough to watch the Throne in Paris.
Hold on, sidebar.
Go ahead.
A Biggie show. How was that?
Oh man, unbelievable.
Where was it at?
Actually, coincidentally, in Buffalo.
Wow.
Because my sister lives in Buffalo. My older sister.
What was the venue? How big was the venue? Was it an arena?
I don't remember. It was an arena, and he brought Junior Mafia out.
Dang.
He brought Kim out, C's, and I just remember Puff bringing him out, and he had a 3-piece suit on.
Big
with the hat.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Hey. I'm saying, back then nobody was doing that. Like, so, you know, what I remember about Big, you know, sidebar a little bit, is him sounding just like he sounded on the record, right? Which you don't get that often, right? And there was no, like, track underneath him. There was no none of that. It was Big, like, so. And then he brought Kim out, and, like, they almost tore the arena down.
About what point in his career was this?
Oh, shit. This had to be, I'm in college. This had to be 90, give or take, 94, 95, something like that, somewhere around there. Did he pass in 96?
So he was big.
Yeah, so he brought Junior Mafia out. And I remember even back then being like Junior Mafia was, you know, they had, what was it, Get Money?
Yeah, Get Money, mm-hmm. Then, what is it, Need You Tonight, joined
yeah,
like
you
that.
Know, so they had Get Money, but I just remember him giving them, like, that platform and bringing them out and whatnot, but, like, Big was ill. Like, so to my original, I've seen real shows, and love him or hate him, Drake, what you're reminded of 30 minutes into the show is this man's catalog.
That's what I tell everybody. Like, I think when it's all said and done, when you combine catalog with the experience he's going to give you, he might be the GOAT. When it's all said and done.
And that sounds crazy, right? Like, you almost feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because he's still got a long way to go. Like, still, there's way more stuff that we haven't heard that will be put out in the future that's going
to
be.
But you know what I started to realize, man, when we start talking about the GOATs and the greatest, it's like we can't feel a certain way because it's like we understand and it's a respect level, man, but we have to respect and cherish and honor these guys that are greats right now, and that will be like, and I'm keeping it funky, like Brian, like Drake. It's like, man, they're putting in the work and they're gonna do it. If they're not it right now, they're gonna, and we shouldn't even feel uncomfortable. I know it feels weird, but it's like, you're listening to Drake perform, you're listening to these songs, and it's like, it's only been 7 years.
And mind you, he put on a, we were just talking about that before we started the show. His show was 2 hours.
Right.
His set from the beginning to like the last part of it. And there's no filler.
Right.
Like, it's all hit. He may take you back to the mixtape at the beginning, but that's a hit too. Like,
right. I know that one part of the show he did just all hooks.
All the hits.
When we was in Toronto,
featured on.
Yeah, when we was in Toronto, Brian turns to me, he goes, he just showing off, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, just, you forget.
I got
just,
all the hits, boy. Yeah.
Wow.
He did dun, 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 dun. Crew Love.
He did, like, I'm on one.
Right.
He did Don't Stop. He went on like a 12 to 15 minute
you forget,
roll where he just did choruses and hooks for songs that he was featured on. It was crazy, man.
Drake featuring Drake.
It was crazy.
Like, the show is amazing. Like, the segues, the placement of the songs, like, and the stage. Like the balloons.
You give me an experience. But we was at the Tacoma store, and on our way over there, I don't think anybody, Swiffer probably definitely seen the Drake show. But I had my son, my dude Jeff, and my cousin, I was like, y'all about to get, he gonna give y'all an experience, man. Like, he's just not about to be up here walking around rapping. You gonna get pyrotechnics, the light stage going up and down, dance moves, stuff coming from the ceiling. It's, you get your money's worth, man.
I had a conversation with Maverick and I had a conversation with Future the Prince, and I actually hope he doesn't kill me for saying this, but I actually asked him, why does Drake come out first? Because that's normally like his OVO Fest thing.
Right.
Where first brings people, but a real tour, there's normally an opening act
and then
the headline.
Right.
And I asked him why Drake comes out
first.
But
before you even go there, explain, so what's the format? How, when they explain to the listeners, like, when, how did this show start? So what's the format? Who goes first? Who closes? Like,
a regular show? You talk about Summer 16?
Summer 16.
Yeah, so in Summer 16, the funny thing is, if someone says a show starts at 9 and there's an opening act, you might get there at 9:30 and catch a little bit of the opening act and then be there for the headliner. Drake opens up the show. There are some, like, you know, younger OVO talent that plays early.
Division,
shout out to him. And there's someone
Roy else. Woods.
Roy Woods. Yeah. Roy Woods.
You know, who actually can sing.
You're right.
You know, they get busy. So,
yeah.
But the show, when the curtains drop, it's Drake comes out. And Drake comes out not just, you know, to say hi to the crowd. He's out there for, we were saying, I mean, an hour and a half.
Yeah. Like, it was to the point where you're kind of like, is Future coming out? Right.
So he's out there for an hour and a half. Then he brings Future out. Future does about a 30-minute set, give or take, 30, 40 minutes, you know, 25 to 40 minutes, whatever it is. And then he brings Drake back out. They do a little bit of What a Time. And then Drake closes the show with another half hour. So Drake does a legit 2 hours of performing, right? Not including the Future thing. I saw him in New York. His show finished at 12:30. He came on stage at 9. All right?
Then after party.
Yeah, then I mean, I don't know how they do it. We were having that conversation. But I remember asking Future, like, why does Drake come on first? And he said Drake doesn't view Future as an opening act. He's like, their goal every night is, when you leave that show, to say, that was the greatest show I've ever seen. Not that Drake was amazing and so on.
Right.
So if you look at it, Future uses Drake's set. If you've been to a hip-hop show, for the most part, and there's an opening act, it's normally an opening act, and then like 15, 20 minutes to change the set.
Yeah.
The stage swivels, then you have this big-ass, you know, stage. They use the same stage. Right. You know, like, so Drake truly is a creative, and he treats it as, I don't want anyone to look at it like Future's an opening act, I'm a headliner. I want them to come and leave and say, wow, the Summer 16 tour was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. And that's the feeling you get. Like, when you leave there, you're like, I didn't sit down.
Right.
You know, they could take all the seats out of the arena. No one sits down for any other part of the show. It honestly is impressive. Like I said, they put on a 3-hour show, probably 2.5 hours. All hits.
And it's crazy because, like you said, with the opening act, sometimes it gets lost in the sauce. Like, whoever goes on before the headliner's like, all right, well, I caught the end of his show. You know what I'm saying? Because I really just wanted to come see, you know what I'm saying, this person. But, you know what I'm saying? But I did end up catching a little of the opening act. But it's crazy, man. The man's doing four shows in 5 days.
In New York, yep.
In New York, sheesh.
Sold them all out.
And then, so let me ask you that. We've been to Toronto together. Mm-hmm. We've been to Columbus together. Mm-hmm. I also saw him at the Garden. So that's three shows already. Right. You guys may see him tomorrow.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah. I'm going to definitely catch the Phoenix show.
So how many shows you do? What's your best guess? There's 60 dates? How many shows do you think you
can
catch?
It might be over for me. School starts.
Yeah.
That's why I'm starting to shoot the ball. It's my last one.
School start. I might get...
Do you get to 10?
I think I'm going to try to get to 10.
Get to 10 shows.
I think I'm going to try to get to 10 shows. So this will be 1, 2, 3. I definitely got 4 for sure.
If you wanted to get to 10, you can hit 7.
Up random cities like Tampa Bay or something if it's out there or something.
I mean, even if you could poly it, he's got 6 shows in L.A.
Catch a show or two. Dang, what's your number?
I'm definitely going to catch 4 in L.A.
4?
Yeah.
So how many? It's six in L.A.
That puts me up. Well, he's doing... Correct me if I'm wrong, and whoever's listening to this can fact check it, but I think it's 3 or 4 at Staples, and he comes back and does 3 at the Forum.
Yep, I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's...
What's the Forum now?
What is it now? It's just concerts.
Just concerts.
They've redone it. They've put like a bunch of, like a couple $100 million into it. It looks beautiful.
So they're going to keep it. They're not going to tear it down.
So someone told me a stat, actually...
So how far is that? I'm gonna cut you. How far is that from Staples?
I know it's in Inglewood. Yeah. I'm not sure how far it is from Staples. I know in 2015, the Forum had more shows than Staples did. So like they're strictly show venue, you know. So he's doing. I mean, you know, we were talking a Future to Prince, and he was saying this is Drake's NBA season. 60 shows in 3 months.
I saw the man on IG with the Joyce Bryan uses for his leg. And I was like, come on, man. But.
And you see all that dance from Highline playing? Come on. I'm feeling.
I'm still suing for the softball game. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Listen, man. Can we talk about the softball game?
You wasn't there for the beginning. See, let's talk about the softball game.
Explain to people what the softball game is.
All right, so we got a King James Classic. Brian hosts a softball game every year, you know, for the family and friends out in Akron. And it's not like a regular soft. The man, we play at the Akron University softball field in the real arena field.
You can feel comfortable saying stadium.
The stadium, all right? Yeah, we play at the stadium. You know what I'm saying? So it's a real game. It's amazing, you know, family members and friends. My team, we took the lead.
And y'all did the captain. Y'all pick up. Who was
we captain? Brian. Brian and Drew.
Drew and Brian.
I thought you said you. I'm sorry. Yeah, Brian and Drew captained up. Drew picked me. Yeah.
Steph made a hell of a
play on the infield.
Oh, man.
He covered it. That's my number one pick right there.
So you guys won one game.
We won the first game 16-0.
I know that man was heated.
Brian was sorry. He called the game. As soon as the 16, he said, all right, that's it. We're running it back.
Since we're speaking facts, I wasn't there for the first game.
He got there last.
I'm not going to say there's any correlation. I wasn't there for the first game. I was there for the second and third game, which we won.
They won. You know what's crazy about that?
Close games, though, too.
So, Brian, we were winning. We won the first game 16 up.
16-0?
16-0. So, I remember during the second game, we were, it was a little closer. I think y'all were winning. And I remember Brian saying something in the field. He screamed over something along the lines of, you know, it's all good. You know, I've been down before this summer.
Yeah.
Because I've been down before this summer. Can't believe it. The man came back. They won the next two games. They won the series. I've seen this story before.
You know, the funny thing is, so for the friends and fam that are listening to this show, they know how competitive Bron is. But for those of you that...
Oh, he was salty about that 16-year-old. He was mad.
The man is really competitive.
He takes it very serious.
No, he told his son, if you're not going to be serious...
His son. Flesh and blood.
Yes, if you're not going to be serious playing second base, you can sit
down. I remember one time Bryce was walking up the bat. He said... You want to act like you want to be here today?
Have some energy. Yeah. No, he takes it. Look, we was in Vegas We was in Vegas and we went to Top. Have either one of you done Top Golf?
Top Golf. I was asking, is there one here?
That boy, everybody's.
It's the let's bring one
so,
here.
So what is? So give. What's the Top Golf experience? So everybody's seen it on.
Will we be able to? Can we bring one here?
It's a franchise. We could.
I got a couple. I got a couple on it.
We should have. We should have that
couple. What? Look at that talking big.
Lala,
you see this crib?
Lala,
see this.
Got Basquiat on
the wall. You see the artwork on the wall, man.
Shout out to Sue. Sue, what up?
Now, but so Top Golf is we all know what a driving range is, right? Like a golf driving range.
Right.
They have taken that and combined it with bowling, right? So when you look at the driving range, there's actually places on the field or on the range that have a point system. So let's say the three of us, PR, Emil, and Steph, would be on one team and we play against Bron, Mav, and Rich and actually keep score for you. So it's super cool. Drinks, bottle service.
But how
music.
Far can you, like...
Oh, it's far.
So you got to hit it into an area and try to get it to land on some
points.
Well,
the further you hit it...
The more points you get.
And then what is it like? It has to be digital because you can't see that far out. Okay.
And then it's like all kind of like map, like mapping. Like it has the points system.
So it's
so
like...
If you hit it short, it's 50 points. If you hit it 300 yards like CP, like Chris Paul was doing, it's 200 points or whatever it is. But it's super dope. There's music playing... Bottle service, neon lights.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's official. But my point of bringing it up is, you know, first of all, no excuses for the man. The man's 6'8", 6'9". There's no clubs for his size, right? The average person. So he gets up there. Let's just say he's not crushing it. CP comes up. CP has a golf simulator in his house. Him and his brother are crushing it, looking like Tiger out there. And Bron looks over at me. He goes... You know I'm getting one of these in my house, right? I'm gonna be nice by next year. Like he's so competitive, and he couldn't live with not being good at something.
That's crazy.
Like so,
but that's why we got that championship.
It's very true.
By the way, side note: the Warriors were up 3-1.
They were
up 3-1.
They said it couldn't happen.
They said it couldn't happen. They said
never
the boy
happened before.
Never happened before. The boy had lost a step.
I saw that. I saw it. They said the league wasn't his anymore.
It was somebody else.
I seen one bit it was like, is he becoming irrelevant?
Oh,
come on, Bleacher Report. At some point during the season,
wow.
Is he
Lord have
irrelevant?
Mercy. How dare they?
I saw Stephen A. say the Cavs had zero chance. Zero chance.
He came on national TV and said it.
Zero chance to win it.
It's over. It's over. Thank God. Zero chance.
I talked to Steph Curry, who's a personal friend of mine, by the way, because everyone's a personal friend. Listen, man.
It's over.
It all started when that man Daddy got up there and started talking.
Clay.
Big Thompson.
Listen, man.
Clay get up there and said it's a man's game.
It's a man's game.
Now, you know what's crazy about, I don't know if we mentioned this the last episode, but I was late. And I know this sounds crazy. I didn't see this, but when I saw it, I said, he did what? I had no idea until after game 5 that Bron wore an Undertaker t-shirt to practice before there.
Yep.
I say, that's very bold, man.
And he'll never say it was a message, but if you think about it, let me know the last time you saw a player at practice that wasn't an official NBA gear. The man was wearing an Undertaker tee at shoot around with the media there. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of t-shirts. Game 7.
Game 7.
Yes. RWTWT.
Yes. And now they broke the server.
Explain to everybody. Yes. Where RWTW came from, man. Like, what was the whole thought process behind it and what it is?
Yeah, so honestly, so RWTW, for those of you that don't know, stands for Roll with the Winners. And I used to work at Nike, and I literally had that on my signature. I'm talking 8 years ago. Just Roll with the Winners, right? And then it came from just us, crew, family, and conversation being like, if you're down with us, like you're rolling with the winners. And I think the misconception on Roll with the Winners is a very simple one. Everyone thinks like it's like Roll with the Winners, that means you got mad paper, you know, you're rich or you're a pro athlete. Roll with the Winners, the mindset behind it is, and it's exactly that, a mindset is anyone that's successful in whatever their field is, right? You teach, you're doing your thing, you're mentoring kids, you're a winner. Flaws DJs, you DJ, Victor Cruz is catching touchdown passes, LeBron's winning, you know, hitting game winners. You know, Roll with the Winners is a mentality of people that are just doing positive in whatever field they're doing. And then the step beyond that is also help each other, right? So it's the strength, you know, the mantra is the strengths in the crew is, shit, last night I called you. I'm like, yo, I'm in your city. Where's a good place to eat? Like, I got you. It's nothing, right?
Right.
If you need something, Floss, you're doing a party. You're like, yo, can you help me with some brand? I got you. It's never a what's in it for me. It's never that. The crew, right? Why we say the strength is in the crew is everyone's doing positive things and helping each other, and as a result, everyone kind of benefits from it. So it was never a funny story about how it became a brand, and I'm using air quotes. We had been saying this roll with the winner stuff for a minute now, and then I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a couple of hats and just give them to the fam, like literally just to give them. And I made up a dozen hats. I gave Bron two. I gave Victor Cruz one. I gave a couple of people some.
What you wore on Ballers.
Yes, what you wore on Ballers, exactly. And then my friend, his name's Jed. What up, Jed? Jed Berger is Senior Vice President of Marketing for Foot Locker. So he texts me one day, and he's like, yo, can we talk about, give me a call. I want to ask you something about RWTW. So I'm thinking, okay, he wants a hat.
Right, right.
Whatever. So I'll call you when I'm out of this meeting. I call him, like, what's up? He's like, yo, what are you doing with the RWTW brand? And I'm like, what brand? Like, right. A brand? Like, I literally just did some hats. And he was like, yo, like, I want to do something with you with Foot Locker. That literally, for me, was like the light bulb. Like, oh, this might be something, right? And then LeBron went and posted a picture of him wearing it. This is back when he was in Miami. And it kind of took off from there. And, you know, I went and we did 100 hats, put them on a website, and they all sold out. And we did 200 hats, they all sold out. And then, you know, we were off and running. What I'll say, you know, in closing it is, we never started RWTW like as a business or to make money. It was just literally like just some crew love shit. And as with most things, when you start something like genuine and something really authentic, people kind of gravitate to that. So even to this day, we don't really run it as a business probably as much as we should. You know, and if you go on the website right now, literally every single thing is sold out. We're just having some fun with it. We're trying to create some cool things that the fan would rock. And, you know, taking it slow in the process, but it's been super successful. But I think people have embraced it because of what it stands for. So,
you know what's crazy? So, shout out to International B. Brennan was popping. So, Brian, whole playoffs, Suits, Taylor, looking amazing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Suits, Taylor. I remember it was so crazy. Also, like, I'm going to get back to the Suits, and, you know, it's part of that, though. But after game one of the NBA Finals in Golden State, I remember, like, I was more down. Like, I wasn't worried, but I was, you know, it's just like, I don't know how those guys are going to feel or how he's going to feel after the game. We see him, you know, it's boom, boom, boom. So I remember he gets off the bus. We're at the hotel. He gets off the bus. I happen to be in the lobby. He walks by. You know, we dap each other up. He's like, come on, let's go ahead. So I'm walking. I'm like, man, you're looking, you know, very fly today. He said, oh, man, you know, I'm gonna always do that. Boom, boom, boom. But it was just like, in his mind, I'm trying to see, like, how he's feeling, you know what I'm saying? And he's just like, I'm like, that's what they do, man. He's like, we got to win 4 games. All right, we lost one, you know, it's whatever. And then I think we might have spoke about this on the last episode, but we went to Nike Town.
Yep, in San
Fran. After the second loss.
Yep.
Well, no, was it? But,
in
no,
between the two.
It was in between game one and two.
Yep.
And his spirit, him and JR, it was just like, well, we just got to handle business. Yep. I mean, we just got to win a game, you know? Yep. Like, we
win. The fans be more down than
players.
You know what's interesting? You know, it's in, I think, an unsung hero, if there can be, for a head coach. I think T. Lou.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his mentality. I remember, same thing. You know, we had did this lounge for Beats by Dre that you had come to for us, you know, for the players, for the team. And T. Lou came through. He daps everybody up. What's up? What's up? What's up? And this is after losing game one. And after he's there like 10 minutes, I tell him, like, yo, like, how you feeling? He's like, oh, I feel great. And I'm like, he's like, about the series? I'm like, yeah, what else am I asking you about? He's like, oh, we'll be fine. He's like, we just got to toughen up. He's like, if we get tough, we're in this. And if we don't, we're out. Like, that. Yeah. He was so calm about it. Like, listen, the game plan's there. We have the players. We have enough talent. We just got to do what we got to do. And then even when they went down 3-1, which, again, is unheard of. It's never happened, right?
Right, that's what they said.
They said it couldn't happen. They asked him in the press conference, what did you tell your team? You know, everyone's head's got to be down and you're going back. He said, oh, we're fine. He goes, I told him, anyone that thinks we can't still win this thing, don't get on the plane.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, his calming effect, you know, Bron's calming effect, and, you know, the one thing I wish people could really see is how close these dudes really are.
Like that, we talk about it all. And I don't. I'm not.
It's not fake. It's not for the gram. These dudes are close.
And I'm not. And we're not with these other teams in these candid and family moments and things like that. But these guys off the court, they're together, dinners, hanging out, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, of course, there's a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying, like, that the world will never see and that y'all can't see and things like that, man. But, like, you know, like, somebody might, like, you know, like, a lot of stuff came was coming up about Kevin Love. You know, Kev's not in these group pictures. It's like, well, he's still getting treatment. They back there already, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, he's not. But, like, you know what I'm saying, when the cameras are off and all of that, it's like, man, everybody's really a brother and really taking care of each other. Yep. And, like, and I say, man, that has to you know, roll over on to the court, because it's like, I could trust this person outside of the court. I know I could easily trust them, you know, on the court. You know what I'm saying? That's the, I could trust them with my life outside of the court. You know, I definitely, but to bring it back to the suits, he didn't wear a suit before game seven. He had an RWTW t-shirt on, and I said, oh, man, he means business. I said, the man don't want to spill champagne on his suit. I'm like, that's the first. I said, he has a t-shirt on and a dad hat.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The man.
I hadn't seen it, right, because I didn't see the pregame, and my phone started blowing up. Everybody started texting me, and someone hit me, and they said, have you seen Twitter? And I was like, oh, this is all either really good or really bad. And I checked. I think I had like 75 mentions or something. And it's like 20 plus icon or whatnot. Yeah. And I looked at it and I saw it. And then the first tweet I saw was Rachel Nichols saying, LeBron walks in early with a message wearing a t-shirt that says roll with the winners. You know, and I was like, uh-oh.
He got to do it.
Yeah, he came in and he literally sent the message like, and you saw him. He was cool, calm, and collected. Had the tee on. I will say he crashed our site.
No, he did. That's why. Is that why? Is that why we ain't got the tees?
Oh, come on, man. I couldn't get the tees before this.
I seen the man with a long sleeve. Did you know it was long sleeve?
Come on, man. We're still working.
I've been on five emails.
you've been through three assistants.
Yeah,
you've been through three of my assistants.
I've sent you my address four times.
Now listen, I am here. Let the record, you know, be set straight. You guys will all have a nice package this week, man. I'm still working.
This week, y'all heard that.
Nah, nah.
Y'all heard that.
It's Monday.
Listen, this week, you guys will have a nice package sent to y'all. I told y'all, we're still learning how to run this as a business, man.
Like, he did.
So when we do this next one sometime in December, we'll see if access do we get our package.
But I will say this, man. It's been overwhelming and humbling, you know, the love that people have showed, you know, RWTW. And Floss, you've played a huge role in that as well, like with your running club.
Oh, so let me tell y'all about that. So it's all family.
Yep, yep.
You know what I'm saying? But I understand.
We'll get more ice for these drinks.
All right, there it is. So
we need some more water in here.
Now this is where Run with the Winners was birthed. So, you know, PR had already had the RWTW Roll with the Winners. So I had decided to start a running group, and I was speaking to a mutual friend of me and PR, and she was like, I knew she ran, so I was asking her about some different things. And she was like, yeah, you know, that sounds great. She was like, you just got to come up with what you thought of a name for the group. And I was like, no, not yet. She was like, your whole crew is already, you hear the ice going.
You hear the ice going.
No, I'm just saying, hold on, because the ice is... But is the refrigerator still at 37 degrees?
Yes, it is.
No, because...
On the digital.
Because I think Jerome changed it from... It was at 35 degrees.
Yeah, Jerome like...
Yeah, he like...
Hot water.
Yeah, he like here... You know what I'm saying? I had to change it. Anyway, so she was like, well, your crew is already RWTW. Why don't you just go roll with the winners? She was like, why don't you just go with roll with the winners? And I was like, no, I was like... I should do Run with the Winners. So I was like, let me call PR, because at the end of the day, we're family and we can have this discussion, but I didn't want to just make a move without discussing with P first. So I was like, P, I got the
common sense, though.
Yeah, yeah, but a lot of people don't think like that. A lot of people just...
Most don't.
Yeah, people would just start doing stuff whatever they want. So I hit P, I said, I'm starting to run group P. I'm like, I'm looking for a name. I'm like... You already got, you know, RWTW Roll with the Winners. I was like, and we're a running club. I'm like, do you mind if I use Run with the Winners, for my run club name? He's like, oh, not a problem. He's like, you know, go ahead. I was like, well, you know, I just had to make sure that, you know, that I asked you first.
That's the do say you hear floss.
M. Kel, what up?
Yeah, M. Kel, what up?
But no, but that's a true testament. Like I say, man, like people see it on so, like, we really truly are a fam, like the whole crew. Like, and however we can help each other out, irregardless of, you know, anything in return, monetary, whatnot. You and I have never discussed a dollar floss or anything, right? However I can help you, I'll help you, and vice versa. So
you've helped me get a lot of money, though. So,
I see. I like the crib. How would you describe this crib? How would you describe this, like...
Summertime, you can't open the windows.
Why is that?
I mean, it's too high. It's too high up for the
draft. It's too close to the sun.
But you know, I do. Once again, I'm gonna complain about the parking.
What is parking issue, man? Talk to me.
I got a valet every time. Come over here.
You can't drop his name at the valet.
They should do some type of something with the parking. Come to visit.
I gotta speak to him. You're right.
Somebody.
How much they hit you for? How much they hit you?
20 every trip.
Clean 20 off rip. That's not spending gas, none of that stuff. 20.
Valet, every trip.
I think that's an hour, though. Might be a little more. Even
25, might be 25.
You might get hit for that 36 or 40 ball by the time you leave here today.
That's crazy.
I see why y'all only done 10 shows. I get it.
Like, park down the street.
You know, let me ask you this, man. Good guys, man. The good guys. I know the good guys from, like, just y'all two being, like, actual good guys. Like, y'all genuine.
Hey.
And if you've discussed it before, you haven't discussed it with me. Like, how to start? What's it about? Talk to me.
So I was already DJing DeMille. He was always like, this is my like musical consigliere. You know, if you want, like, Mill is such a musical guy. And you know how we always talk about, you know, within our crew it's, and within your crew, everybody's crew, y'all should always, like, you shouldn't be the best at, you know, you should always keep somebody around you that's better at doing something than you're at doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm a music guy. I'm a DJ. You know what I'm saying? I'm nice with that. But Mill is like, he has a very, very extensive musical knowledge. So it was only right that he decided to start DJing at some point. So with that being said, he has the musical knowledge and then I have the skill set. So it's like, we help each other out. So we are like, all right, well, we do the same parties, you know, for the most part, most of the time anyway. So I'm like, we should just be, you know, a group, per se. And, you know, I can't front, you know, I give respect where respect due. Big shout out to the LA Leakers. They were the only, like, guys that I had, like, a semi-blueprint. I'm like, well, it's two DJs, and they rock, and they do everything with each other. And I know, you know, when people go out to the West Coast with exclusive joints and stuff like that, they hit up the LA Leakers, they leak it on the radio, you know, blase, blase. So I'm like, we should do that for this area. We could be those guys, you know what I'm saying? We could be like, quote unquote, the LA Leakers of our area. And I'm like, well, we need a name. And we couldn't figure out a name. I don't know how it came. It just came out of the blue. We was watching TV or something.
Ashley might have helped too, like.
We was running names by, and some came up on TV. Or it might just been a joke and we was just talking and then it was like, you know, good, you know, perfect. Good guys. Yeah, and we was like, good guys? I'm like, hold on. The good guys, we're the good guys. I mean, we are generally good guys. I mean, Mill, you know, by day, this man is a teacher in school, you know what I'm saying?
What about by night?
Maybe. By night. By night, you know what I'm saying? You know,
Everybody's seen Thriller.
He said Thriller. So look, Pete, we got a healthy podcast this time. So we're going to separate this into part one, part two. This is the end of part one. So, you know, check for part two. Trust me, it's equally as good.